Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hi, I'm Paul Listick, and welcome to Behind the Curtain.
Okay. It took 2 days to get the set up, so we shan't have time for a dress rehearsal. Don't worry. Think of the first night as the dress rehearsal. If we could just get through the play once tonight for Dawes and Sardines, that is what it's all about. Dawes and Sardines. Getting on, getting off, getting the sardines on, getting the sardines off. That's fast. That's the theatre. That is life.
Oh, Lloyd, you're so deep.
So just keep going. Bang, 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 bang your on. Bang your set. Bang your off. And everything will be perfect. Where's Celsius?
Oh, no.
Not already.
Celsius?
Celsius! Poppy!
Well, that is a scene from a hysterical show playing now at the Windy City Playhouse called Noises Off, that has just been given such new life, as far as I'm concerned, because the play itself has been around for a while. But if you've never seen it, or even if you have, it is so well done, as I've come to learn everything at Windy City Playhouse is so well done. And joining me to talk about this show, which is playing through April 7th over at Windy City Playhouse on Irving Park, is the artistic director for the Windy City Playhouse. She's also a cast member. That's useful. I guess you could. I would cast myself too if I was. Anyway, Amy Rubenstein joins us playing the role of Belinda. Also joining us, actor Scott Duff, who plays Frederick, and Ryan McBride, who plays Gary, Rochelle Terrian, who plays Brooke. You guys are so phenomenal in the show. I will, as a group hello, say welcome to you all.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And so, actually, Amy, I'm going to come to you first, because as the artistic director for Windy City Playhouse, I have this theory, because you, of course, are also responsible for bringing in Southern Gothic, which is this incredible show that continues to have life at your new location down in South Michigan. We've done a podcast on that. In fact, I've recently had people going back to listen to it again and hear it for the first time.
Right.
But what I want to bring up with you is I've now decided that Windy City Playhouse is creating this niche for yourself, which is this notion of what I think we can call immersion theater. This is not just about being in the audience, but it is about being part of the show. Am I starting to see that as something that you guys are embracing?
Absolutely. We like to shake things up in any way possible and get the audience as close to inside the show as possible. And just in general, eliminate the given circumstances of separating the audience and the actors. That should just be something that's rethought with every show as opposed to a given.
And, of course, in Southern Gothic, you really bring that alive because we are part of the set and we walk around the set. As in Noises Off, you've done it again, because not only are we in front watching the action, but then for – and I don't think I'm giving anything away here, really. I'm going to conscious to not do that. But it's fair enough to know that in one of the acts, the audience is actually brought behind stage and we get to watch the action. So different behind stage. It is such a treat. In fact, the anchor that I took to the show last weekend mentioned to me the other day, she says, "You know what? I keep thinking about that show. Boy, did I love that show." And I agree. Let's, for folks who have never heard of this, actually, I know who I want to come to for this, Scott Duff. It's going to be you who plays Frederick. As I'm going to ask you for the plot, but here's why I'm coming to you. Because Chris Jones, in his review of this show, referred to Noises Off, and he gave it a fantastic review. He said, "It's a relic, but a funny one." And then as I read some comments to Chris's reviews, David Serta, the very funny actor in Chicago, he referred to you, Scott, and said, "Scott Duff, a relic, but a funny one." So I don't know if you saw that. I did. I got a big kick out of that. I imagine you and David are friends, but I thought I would throw that to you and let you spring off of that and tell us what Noises Off is all about.
Wow, well, I can't wait to call David Serta now.
I'm sure you will.
Pick a bone with him. yeah, that's hilarious. Noises Off is, for me, it is the quintessential, the most perfectly written farce. It follows a group of, how shall we call them, challenged actors In Act One, you have them on the night before they open their show. It's a dress rehearsal before they open. Anything that can go wrong does. And you kind of realize that you feel this dynamic of this poor little troupe that's just trying to get through. And then Act Two, as you were saying, takes place a couple of weeks later, as we are about ready to start a performance of the play that we're rehearsing in Act One. So, and by this point, there are romances that are happening. There's misunderstandings, as you do with any sort of farce. And they're really trying to kill each other. So you have, but there's a show going on. So you have this element of there is a play that is happening and everybody's backstage, including the audience, and we have to be quiet because there's a show going on. And then by Act Three, everything is just all goes to hell and it's just crumbling down around us.
And so many clever things go on. And let me get to the other two who just create these great characters. Rochelle, I'm going to start with you because Rochelle Terry and your character, okay. Brooke. Oh my God, it is so great. But it is at first you kind of think, with all due respect, boy, what a bad actress, not you, but Brooke, the character you play. And then as this show goes on, you just love who she represents. Talk to our listeners about Brooke Ashton and God, you play her so well. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Brooke Ashton is, she's so lovely. She is, for lack of a better way to put it, I guess, a lovable ditz, I suppose. But honestly, you could argue that she's the smartest one there because she's really the only one who's sticking to the book when everything is falling apart around her in the play and all of the other actors are sort of deviating from the script and their original direction and blocking and all of that. She is the one who is nothing if not reliable and on her mark and in the right place and pushing forward with the play. So it's a lot of fun to be in the middle of that storm and be the only one who is just sticking exactly to the lines and saying them exactly the way that she learned them. And she's going to continue doing that. And she's a lovable little bit.
She says her lines. It really doesn't matter what anybody else is saying. She's going to do her lines in the order that she memorized them.
Yeah. And it's funny because I think so Act Three, as Scott mentioned, everything goes to hell and you're seeing another one of their shows later on in there and a few more weeks ahead, and you see just how much more the relationships of the actors and the play itself has crumbled. And I think it takes a moment for audiences to catch on to the fact that Brooke is, like, I think at first they're just not understanding why she's saying the lines completely irregardless of what anyone else in the scene is saying to her. And then they realize, oh my God, she's just doing her lines and she can't do anything else. And I think that's what's so fun for people to
so great, so classic.
Discover.
And Ryan McBride, first of all, I have to ask you, Ryan, was it tough for you to sort of get ready for this show and not get distracted by fantasy football?
Oh, fantasy football. No, not at all. No.
All right, you didn't have to really answer that. I just wanted to, I understand you're a fanatic with fantasy football, correct?
I feel like I've faded out over the last couple of years.
Okay,
but I'm from Philadelphia. I'm a big Eagles fan. So,
gotcha. Just wanted to run that by you. And of course, people have seen you over at in Mamma Mia over Paramount. This one you get to keep all your clothes on, I think, as far as I could tell on the show, which was good. Yeah. So your character, Gary Lejeune, also is just so great. You know, sort of the serious actor, but in the show, talk about your character, what he is in the show, so people understand you in context.
Well, I think there's a wonderful note in the script, and it has all of the Gary has his own bio, and he has all of these police roles that are just made up by the writer as, I guess, a little bit of a gag. But there's something about Gary where he can perform within the show flawlessly, and he can't, for the life of him, finish a sentence without "Do you know what I mean?" or "You know." He can't formulate it full thoughts at all, and he's a little bit of a, I don't know, I think I always viewed him as a very insecure person, but he feels very at home when he's actually acting.
Yeah, and it plays so well. Amy, I'll come back to you. Scott Weinstein, who directs the show, what has to be interesting from the perspective of a director is directing somebody else who's playing a director, which this show has. But, of course, this is a very frustrated director. Can you talk about the interplay, just as this the process went on, of how Scott Weinstein, the director, was challenged or not challenged by the fact that he's directing the putting on of a show? It's like a show within a show within a show, and especially having to play somebody who's playing a director.
Yeah, rehearsals were very confusing because of all this. Like, you never know. It's hard for any outsider, if you're not holding a script, to be able to tell what's real, what's acting, what's the rehearsal. And this went on for us. It was kind of eerily strange up until opening night, because they even do, you have the night before the opening, right? So it's like everything kind of kept imitating life. This is what Scott's always saying. It's life imitating art, imitating life, imitating art, imitating life. And it just keeps going. We brought in, we invited a couple people to come and watch rehearsals, donors of the theater or people involved on the board or this or that. And they were just so utterly confused, because you'd have Michael, the actor who's playing the director, stop the show, and then you'd have Scott stop the actors in the show. And so it was just it's just a very, very confusing play to watch rehearse. I think Michael the actor had his favorite directors to imitate and use as inspiration, but certainly it was always funny for all of us to watch the director and then the director.
Such great interaction.
Well,
there,
if I can add something, sure. I just remember, yeah. Scott, this is Rochelle, Scott, our director, a couple of times during rehearsal, he had everything like mapped out. He's just a genius like that. But there were moments, I don't know if you guys remember, he would say, he's like, how would Lloyd, who plays that's the director character's name, how would Lloyd direct this? And Lloyd in the play is not a very good director. And it was a lot of fun for Scott, I think, to think about, okay, how would this director direct this play within the play? And then Scott, would make choices based on that.
I think that's a brilliant point, because it's true. This is Scott not having to make decisions about, well, I'm directing this thing, how would I direct it? But I think that's exactly right. He's got to say, no, how would Lloyd direct this and play it that way? I think it just added to the humor. I talked to one of my cameramen here who knows the show. He's going to come and see it. And he said, do they still have the stuff with the sardines in there? I said, oh, yeah, they got sardines. We'll let that float out there. Scott, let me come to you, because your career is sort of interesting. I've seen you. I know you've done a lot of work with About Face Theater and Looking Glass, a lot of different places. But you also do radio, WCPT. And I'm just sort of curious, the challenges of being on stage versus doing live radio. I mean, for me, it's a radio television distinction that I enjoy playing off of. What about for you? Stage, radio?
Oh, God. Well, they're both such different beasts, you know? It's been a long time. I am such a huge fan of this play, of Noises Off, and I am eternally grateful to, Scott and the producers for casting me. I've been wanting to do the show. I directed it in college, so I've been waiting for 25 years to do the show, so I'm so thrilled to be a part of this. So I think that's something that's just different about with radio. As you know, anything can happen. There's a sort of unpredictability about it, and you are kind of in the driver's seat when you are hosting or you're interviewing a guest or you're, researching. So I love that sort of aspect, and I love, trying to be, hoping to be a voice of the community. I do a show called Out Chicago. It's for the LGBTQ community, and I hope that we are highlighting some issues, especially with this crazy administration that we have right now. So I love doing that, but I also love doing, I love performing. So I love being able to, here are the words that I have to say. So yes, I still have to think about it, and yes, there's still like a focus and concentration, but it's also like, here's a script. I can't veer from that. Let's stay on that. And then I also do stand up as well, which is a different beast altogether. So I don't know. I love the radio. I love theater. I love being a stand-up. They're all great.
Which is good. It's a good life. Mm-hmm. It's a good life. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, the thing I really love about this show is it has to all look like it's impromptu is not the right word, but these accidents, everything going wrong, of course, has to look like it's just plain going wrong. And yet, of course, it's got to be perfectly mm-hmm. timed and handled. So what do you as an actor do to make sure that every night, every performance, you're making things that are going wrong look like they're going wrong for the first time?
That's a really good question. Well, I still don't think I'm doing that very well, but I guess the way that I think of it is thinking linear, thinking objectively, and just working bit to bit to bit and not worry about the end result. And I think being alive within the play and having the shift from when you're playing as Roger and then when Lloyd yells hold and having that transition, it can be really tricky, but I think it's easy when you have a director like Scott who made it almost like choreography and you have amazing people to play off of. So it's not, you don't really need to think about it. And I think we're finding as we're getting further into the run where things may have seemed a little more daunting at first, like running up and down the stairs, the second act is, I mean, we're all running off stage, dripping sweat, trying to be hooked up to IVs and getting ready for the third act. I mean, I think with a little bit of time comes a little more, a little more ease and it becomes more fun. And I've been shocked with my response to that, because I was like, I don't think we're ever going to put this show up for opening. And then we did.
It's been this has been really hard. It's hard. This is a hard show.
I feel like now I'm having fun.
Well, that's good. Yeah, and Rochelle,
we'll have it by closing, guys.
Right, I bet. Be sure you have fun before you close. Yeah, Rochelle, the other thing is, there's, in this particular show, things have to be in their place. Well, that's part of the humor. Things that are in their place but shouldn't be in their place. I mean, right? Are the sardines there? Is the blanket there? What's going on? And, of course, and Ryan, as Gary, has to deal with his shoes getting tied together and the trupping. Again, just sort of tossing some things out. But, Rochelle, having said that, is it a challenge to even remember all those things that are supposed to go wrong or in the wrong place or shouldn't be where they are? Does anything ever mess up at night where, oh, wait a minute, it is in the right place tonight. It shouldn't be there, even though it's not supposed to be there, but tonight it is. Kind of thing.
Oh my God. No, it's a perfect play. Nothing ever goes wrong. We do it brilliantly every night. And well, it's funny as we talk about art imitating life, life imitating art and all that, that sort of revolving door of that saying, there are times where me, Rochelle and Brooke are very similar, where, listen, I don't know what's going on. You guys have to do your stuff. I know what I'm doing. You guys figure out your stuff because there's so many things going on. But really, to answer your question, yes, things go wrong. And it's sometimes a chain reaction of events. And I think one night we had a prop that really needed to get to one spot in the middle of Act 2, and it didn't quite get there. And so we lost it for the rest of Act 2. And by the time it ended, we all sort of looked at each other and we're like, where did the cactus go? We need to put it with. So there's certainly things that go wrong. And how do we mitigate that? How do we resolve those issues? You just kind of, the show just goes on. There are some things that we have to sort of, bits that we have to scrap and move on from, but we usually recover just as well as we can.
The magic of, wait, are you saying one night the cactus, because I know exactly what you're talking about, the cactus was not there?
Yes.
It was my fault.
It got to stay.
That was my fault. So what happened was I was running upstairs and I was going in and out with the sardines right before I dropped sardines on Dottie. And the curtain got stuck in the door and I was busy fixing the curtain and I had to make a split second decision and I decided not to shove a cactus up someone's bum. And the best part is there's so many things happening in the show that, you gotta kind of pick, I guess, or something.
What's really great too about this particular company of actors is it really is an ensemble. Like, we have each other's backs throughout the entire thing. Like, the other night, the study door got jammed at the very end of the play. So we're like, all right, everybody, you can't go through the study, so figure it out. And so we're, everyone's covering for each other, and they got each other's back. So it really is, when things go wrong, and they will go wrong, you know, at least we are fortunate enough that, like, at least I feel that I've got 8 other people up there that I'm like, all right, come on, kiddos, we're doing this together.
And actually,
we just plow on through.
And if there's going to be a show where something goes wrong, this is the one to have it go wrong in.
Absolutely. Oh, 100%. Because you can, because really the audience, well, hopefully, doesn't know the difference if something has gone wrong. It actually makes it so much fun for us because we get off stage and we're just like cackling about what's happened. And the show still stays intact and it's still just as much fun for both us and the audience, no matter what happens. But yeah, we do have each other's back. You can't get through the show without such a mm-hmm. solid, tight ensemble like the one that I think that we've developed. Yeah.
Well, I want to congratulate all of you. Again, Noises Off is, it's just, listen, the show is about 30 years old. Maybe that's why Chris Jones said a relic, but a funny mm-hmm. one. But I talked to Amy after the show the night I was there because I felt like the show, I asked her, was it updated? Because there's some words, it's just things in the show that I felt seemed to be too fresh. And Amy, you said, no, this is the way it was written. But it plays like it is 2019, as far as I'm concerned, the way it comes off in the lines. It's fresh. It's good. It's new. It's so much fun. And Amy, I also want to congratulate you again. You're the founder, the artistic director for Windy City Playhouse. You know, people talk about all those great theaters in the city, Steppenwolf, Looking Glass, Victory Gardens, you know, Goodman, and they are. But you're really creating a new spoke in that wheel, if you will, of Chicago theater by doing some great stuff. And I've Barefoot in the Park, just all the shows you've been seeing. But I really think you guys are especially finding your way now with this special immersive niche that I think is really putting you on the maps of most theaters. I congratulate you, Amy, on doing that. And I think we'll continue to do that.
Those are such kind words. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, that's because
so
I'm
much.
Hoping you'll
yeah,
cast
we,
me.
We try.
I'm thinking you'll cast me in your next show when I say, no, I'm kidding.
Absolutely.
When they do Fiddler again, I'm there. Well, I want to thank all of you. Noises Off is playing at the Windy City Playhouse through April 7th. We can't promise you it will get extended. There are more shows on the agenda, but it's just that if you do what you usually do, you'll just go buy another building and put it over there because the audiences keep coming.
Yeah, you tell my managing director that.
Yeah, okay. But for now, I'm simply going to say make sure you see it through April 7th. You can get tickets at WindyCityPlayhouse.com. I personally have sent people to you to make sure they see it because this is just so well done. And all of you and Ryan and Rochelle, Scott, you guys are doing just such a great job. I congratulate you. I had such a great time. I wanted to kind of hang around afterwards and say hi to each of you, but at least we got to do it now. So thank you so much. WindyCityPlayhouse.com is where you get tickets through April 7th. Noises Off is the show. Great direction, great acting. It's by Michael Frayn. Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
us.
Oh, I know you know that music, right? All you have to do is listen to it. That's Friends. That's the theme from Friends. Why are we playing Friends? Is David Schwimmer returning to the podcast? No, not this week. although he's been on before. But we're taking you to a different route. Friends, the musical parody, is coming to Chicago. If you didn't know it, you should. And it is playing at the Broadway Playhouse, where if you happen to attend the taping of my show called Backstage, that's where we tape Backstage, at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place. And it's going to be playing from February 12th through March 3rd. And I'm so looking forward to this because I get to talk to the two characters who play. If you're going to pick two, who would you pick? Ross and Rachel. That's who you got to talk to, right? And that's who we've got. So playing Rachel is Sammy Griffith, and playing Ross is Tyler Fromson. Welcome to both of you guys. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you so much for having us.
So I think when you do a show like Friends, the parody, it's got to be kind of a, I'm going to say blessing and a curse. I know there's no curse to it from your perspective, but Sammy, I'll start with you. Look, when people come in, they see it, they've got Jennifer Aniston in their mind. They've got David Schwimmer, who, by the way, is in Chicago a lot, and all of that. So talk to me about that challenge. Other than having fun and being, you know, recognizable that way, is it also difficult? Do people expect to see Jennifer Aniston, or you say, no, this is about Sammy, not about Jennifer?
Oh, no, I think I loved Jennifer growing up. I really loved Rachel and adored her. And so
you loved the show. I read your bio. You loved this show.
Oh, I did. Oh, I did love the show. And so I think I try to do her justice and pick up her mannerisms, try to do her vocal inflections so that although you're not getting Rachel, you're getting our idea of Rachel. So I hope I take everyone on that journey.
All right. Well, and Tyler, I'm going to give you a similar question, Tyler, because, you know, again, Schwimmer is known here well. We all know the character Ross, so, and especially the dynamics between Ross and Rachel. So once again, will people will it be fresh? What is your goal here?
I mean, pretty much what Sammy just said. Ross and Rachel, their storyline in the show is so well-known and popular that we do, it's a big part of our show as well. And we do it justice, and but I think the key thing to take away from it is that this is a parody, so it's not going to be exactly like it is in the show,
right?
But it's going to be like a caricature of that storyline.
And that's right. And the guys that created this, Bob and Toby McSmith, they're not new to this concept. I mean, I know they created a Saved by the Bell parody. They did 90210. So this is just another in their efforts along those lines. They obviously have success in doing it. We do get all the characters.
Absolutely.
We're going to see all the friends. They're there. And Sammy, as I understand it, have not seen this show yet because it's not open yet as we speak. But my understanding is this opens with pretty much the way the series Friends opened. The friends in the coffee shop. And in comes Rachel with her marriage going sour, and that's the way Friends began.
Yes, absolutely. We mimic the pilot episode for the opening scene, and then of course everything goes awry after that. It's a great mashup of all 10 seasons. So everything that you're hoping to see from the sitcom is in the show, just in a mixed up, mashed up order.
Okay. And Tyler, this is a musical. So, and I'm, you know, they've released like the names of the songs and stuff. So, you know, and of course, I'm a huge fan of the show too. I've seen every episode. So when you see things like How You Doing, you know, that's Joey's number, or We Were on a Break, we know that's your number. So many of these songs, I Am Marcel the Monkey, and I love this. So these songs, of course, I know I can relate to every single one of them and exactly what it's talking about. But talk to me how Tyler, the music comes into play in terms of, obviously, it furthers the story. Is it a kind of break from the action, or is it just a lot of fun at that moment and it's part of the story, moving the story
so
along?
Our composer, Asaf, he definitely, each song kind of furthers each character, and he does a good job of giving each character their own kind of moment in the music. So, like, Monica has a song called I Know, which is, like, her catchphrase. So it's just kind of, like, it does further the plot, but it also kind of gives you, it gives each character a time to, like, explore their character as well.
And Sammy, over the course of the 10 years that Friends was on, I mean, these relationships developed. Mm-hmm. Listen, they all dated everybody. Everybody was sleeping with them. And at some point, we had dynamics changing. How does this parody deal with the changing in those relationships over the 10 years? Or is that not a factor here?
Yes. Well, I believe that we deal with each character's arc separately a little bit. Of course, the relationship dynamics change as well. But they do a great job with costuming and even with the songs, the arc of each character as they go. So, you know, Rachel starts out as this scared, naive bride and ends up a fashion executive and a single mom. And Joey, of course, has his arc, you know, with the season 8 love triangle and then, of course, season 10 ending alone. But I think what we mimic the most in the relationship is that we really love each other and we really get along well and we're together all the time. And I think that that shows on stage. So the relationship that you're looking for in the sitcom, that sort of friendly, inviting factor that we all feel like we're friends with the friends, I think you get in our version as well.
Okay. Which is nice. I have to ask you this because you kind of freaked me out, so I got to see just what the answer is to this. You just gave me what happened and what season it happened. My question is that because they kind of trained you? You sort of, in other words, Tyler could have said that same thing, or is this because you are such a Friends freak that you actually know what happened in what season?
So I actually watched Friends since I was 5. I started watching it as a kid.
Sammy's probably the biggest Friends fan you'll meet.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely a part of my my adolescence. And then, of course, we studied it for the show, trying to pick up as many mannerisms and vocal inflections as we could. So I've watched it both as a fan and then also as a studier.
And and Tyler, ask you first, when you auditioned for the show, did you audition for Ross or did you audition for Friends and they cast you as Ross?
It actually was my the first audition that I did was actually for Ross. But they were kind of looking for all the characters. But I did audition for Ross first, just because that's probably the more of my type.
Okay, and Sammy, what about you? Was Rachel? I mean, I have pictures of both of you, so I get why your cast is who you are.
Yes, actually, I started my journey in the off-Broadway production. I was the female swing, so I played Monica, Rachel, and Phoebe.
Ah.
And then for the tour, I got to audition for specifically Rachel.
Gotcha. And do we also, by the way, some of the other characters, Gunther and the parents and stuff, are they all in this as well, Sammy?
Gunther definitely makes a few appearances. He's our through line throughout the show. And there's some surprise characters. Of course, Marcel, we mentioned, he has a song, and a few others that get to sprinkle in, but I don't want to give them away.
No, apparently you now
already... People they're hoping for, they'll be there.
You already have me wondering how we're getting a monkey into the show. I sure hope he's real.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. We have some very dynamic performers with us.
Yeah.
That will keep you on your toes.
I love it. Tyler, now I noticed, by the way, both of you have appeared in Urinetown. I don't think it was in the same play. I don't know where you did it.
Oh, yeah.
Were you together, or you just happened to be in separate productions of Urinetown?
No, those were separate.
Mine was back in Kansas City, where I'm from, and I played Bobby Strong. And Sammy, I believe you played Hope, right?
Yeah, you're
loving it. She played Hope, yeah.
I played Hope in San Diego.
So you had to get your head out of the clouds, Tyler.
Yeah.
That was another one of my... I love that show.
I would love to be in a production of that with you.
Yes.
That would be really fun, actually.
That would be so fun.
Oh, yeah. And it's a great show. I've seen it like a dozen times. So, Tyler, talk to me about the dynamics of the cast. Because, look, one of the things that made Friends work so well is there was clearly a dynamic between all of them, you know, that worked very well. And by the way, Schwimmer, probably the brains of that whole group, as you probably know, in terms of his master decisions and how to negotiate and all of that. And I think Joey, Matt just kind of went along for the ride. But that's another conversation. Tyler, talk to me about the dynamics between you guys and how it is you built the kind of friendship that has to come across on the stage.
Well, we definitely had more of a challenge with that because obviously they had 10 seasons to develop chemistry, and we got, you know, a few weeks of rehearsal but it definitely shows through. I mean, we all get along really well and we're all around the same age. So it's the same situation, you know, we're on same as on the show. Everyone was the same age in their 20s playing 20-year-olds. So we all relate to the characters. We all, get along with each other. And they have this kind of special chemistry where they loved each other, but they kind of made fun of each other at the same time. And I think that's really special because we have that same dynamic as well.
Yeah, we've gotten very close very quickly. We're traveling the world together. We're sleeping in hotel rooms together. We're traveling together. It's been quick.
So none of you, I take it from the way you're saying that, Sammy, none of you did know each other. This was all new friends meeting.
Correct.
All new,
friends meeting in New York City, but since then we've spent pretty much every moment together since the tour began.
It's a good thing you're getting along. And Sammy, as you spend time, have either of you been to Chicago? Have you spent some time in Chicago? Is this the first for either of you?
I have not. Not yet.
I've been once.
From Chicago, but not yet.
I've been once, but it was in the summer, so this will be a completely different experience.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fortunately, you just missed the polar vortex, Tyler, so that's good, where we were 50 below. You don't want that, but I think you'll both enjoy this city very much. And the theater that you're in, you haven't seen that yet, but the Broadway Playhouse is where I do my show called Backstage, and I got to tell you, it's an intimate theater, and I was going to ask you about that. You know, there's a few of the Broadway in Chicago homes, if you will, to theater. A couple down in the Loop, which are these grand old theaters like but that's not Broadway Playhouse. Broadway Playhouse is more intimate. It's smaller. And so, Tyler, I'll ask you, I'm going to guess that for this kind of show, that's the desired atmosphere you want to play this in.
Absolutely. Yeah. We actually play a variety of houses, which is really interesting. Each place we go is so different. But I would say most of the time we are in a more intimate space, and it definitely works for this show. Because it invites the audience into our world, and it just works better, I think. So we're really looking forward to being in this space.
In fact, Sammy, I'm curious. Do you get to play today? I mean, mm-hmm. Is the fourth wall there, or do these characters, because you know it is filled with people who are huge fans of Friends. So is there any interplay breaking the wall, and how does the audience? I imagine they're yelling and screaming and doing all the things we would even hear the live studio audience do in the show.
Oh, absolutely. We try our best to invite everyone in. A lot of times they know what we're going to say before we say it.
Right.
Sometimes we throw them for a loop, which is really fun.
Well, I was going to ask. So
you can see the jokes as they land, because each person's face lights up as they remember the exact moment, the exact reference. And, of course, we throw in many surprises, but it's fun to watch them light up. And,
I was going to say,
everyone gets it sort of at the same time.
That's a great point, Sammy. What percentage would you say of the show will be dialogue that we will recognize as opposed to new, fresh dialogue?
That's a great question. I think we allude to many of the famous lines, but in ways and in instances you wouldn't necessarily expect them. So they still come as a surprise, but they are things that you definitely recognize, you know, almost word for word.
I love it. And you will have such a great time here as well. And you get to be here.
Oh,
you
know, we can't wait.
Yeah, you're actually here till March 3rd. It's a reasonable sized run for this show. Is that, Tyler, is that pretty much what you're doing? From city to city? That would be great. Do you go from city to city for about 3 weeks at a time?
This is actually one of our longest runs. We were in Toronto for about a month back in November. That was really fun as well. But most of our runs are maybe a few nights each. So this is a longer run for us. We're really excited.
Well, we're excited to have you here. And Friends, the musical parody is going to be playing at the Broadway Playhouse at Water Tower Place from February 12th to March 3rd. I don't expect you guys will move on from there, so I can't. There won't be any extensions on that. You're going to have to move on, I know.
Correct. We've got other cities to see.
where are you going after Chicago? Do you know?
Tennessee.
Yeah, that'll be a step down.
We do a nice little southern run after Chicago.
Oh,
we'll
you're
warm
gonna
up
miss,
a bit.
You're gonna miss Chicago.
I know.
But we're gonna all come see you. Tickets are at BroadwayInChicago.com. BroadwayInChicago.com. I'm just so happy. I can't wait to see you guys interact as Ross and Rachel. See all the other friends on board. I myself will come with a whole world of thoughts and expectations, because I, like many,
are
a true fan of the show. And actually, it's been fun for me to get to know David Schwimmer and a couple of the other guys over time. Which is really, that's a part of the fun of my job that I like. So have a great time in Chicago. And if we're going to go out, I got to go out playing that Friends music again, if you don't mind. So with my thanks to you, a little more music from Friends. Well, if you want to know more about what we've talked about here, follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Paul Lisnek. That's PaulLisnek. And I'd love to hear your comments or topic suggestions for future podcasts. You can also go to my website, paullisnek.tv. And hey, don't forget to hit subscribe on WGN Plus and iTunes. And tune in each week to hear more Insider Scoop coming to you from behind the curtain.